I have a friend that I brought. Her name is Judy Pierce. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
So tonight we kind of launch into the age group of ages 5 through 10, right around in there. But elephant in the room, Joey and Kenzie had their baby. So they're doing really good. And yeah, just keep them in your prayers. You know the adjustment. So yeah, awesome. Kenzie's a hero, and my goodness, yeah. It's funny how you forget a lot of the things, right? But yeah, just ask Kenzie her story. She'll tell you. But he, Boaz, is amazing. So I don't even, like, I can't. It's like, okay, hold on a second. I remember when Angela, back there, Angela Shields, when she became Alita, her name is Alita, and she was like, Debbie, and I was like, what? And she has her baby, her grandbabies, you know, and I see Michelle, and she has grandbabies, and of course, Judy, and she has grandbabies, and this Judy, and then Marna, and so I have these friends that have grandchildren, but so I'll just tell you my experience, because it's my experience, but it was so sweet, because Joey and Kenzie are going to be amazing parents. They were very mindful about just their time, and they still are, as far as managing their time. And so I had fully expected to not see them at all for 2 days. And I woke up, because Boaz was born on Thursday, and so I woke up on Friday and got my coffee, read my Bible and all that, and then I go to check messages, because that's the next thing. And I got this unexpected invitation to go see him, and I was like, oh! Yes, I will come see him. And so then with full composure, right? Extreme composure. Hello, very casually as I get to their house. And then Joey, because Kenzie was in her room, and then Joey stopped at the door before I went in to the room, which was really sweet because he knows me enough to know to take in a moment like that is really significant and special. And so he said, Mom, are you ready to meet your grandson? Yeah, that's what I did too. That's when I went, oh, I had to turn away for a second because I thought I don't want to be a blubber face, you know, but I could not handle it. I was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't cry. You would be proud of me. I withheld the emotion, but there were a couple tears that were kind of in there, which I figured was good for my contacts because then I could actually see Boaz, right? So, but it was just so sweet and I took note of that. And then I got to see him, and then I got to hold him, and then I got to hold him in another room while Joey did some like chores and stuff, and Kenzie was resting. And you guys, okay, it happened. The Grammy thing happened to me, where I'm taken back. You know, like I was taken back anyway when I first met him. But I was just telling Judy when I got into the next room and I was holding him, I had no words actually to speak. Anyone that knows me knows. That's an anomaly. I just was holding him, and I was thinking, this, it's like you get a glimpse of heaven in a little tiny baby. And it's just so sweet because it's like, I think, and I was talking to my sweet friend out there, Jess, too, I think what it is, and I'll wrap my head around this forever, and I'm sure Grammys out there will all talk about this, but to me, and Judy, you can, you know, tell me what you think about this. But in my opinion, I feel like what it is I was so silent and I was just thinking about like the goodness of God and pondering what it was that I was feeling because it was familiar and beautiful all at one time, but I had nothing to add to it. There was nothing to add to it, just beauty and thankfulness and gratefulness. And then I was thinking about in Revelation where it says, and there was silence in heaven, you know, and I thought, this is like so cool. And I think, getting back to what I was also thinking a couple seconds ago, okay, I believe that in our heart, there's a desire for us to have that feeling of a clean slate. And I think maybe there's a glimpse of that when, you know, someone's worked so hard, a woman has worked so hard to give labor to a baby, to deliver a baby, and then there's this beautiful gift. And it's just a completely clean slate, you know? And so there's a respect there, and there's an honoring there of, like the Lord's ability to create. It's just so beautiful. So that is in a tiny nutshell. We could go on and on, but we're not here for that. We're here for ages 5 to 10. So, but we had a huge thing happen in our family. And so everyone's very, very excited and we're very thankful and the Lord's just really good. So anyway, that's my take. In my 6 days of being a grandma, that's my take. But then I think, oh no, last week I told you guys I was gonna show you the paddle. Oh no, and Joey and Brett's name are on the back of here, and I'm not gonna even talk to you about maybe who someday his name's gonna be on there too. No, we'll put that away right now. Oh, no, but instead we have Judy. So we are gonna encourage you guys because we did some happy chat talks the past few weeks, and this age group is just a reiteration of that, but we're just going to make that age appropriate for you. And Judy has quite a few little grandkids that call you a multitude of names, and you have Patrick and Charlene.
Yes, Charlene's out there. Yeah, we have 6 grandchildren, and out of the 6, we have 5 grandsons. So, yeah, a little lopsided, but each one is so individual and have their own personality, as you well know. I mean, if you've had children or even if you've been, you know, if you have siblings, you know how different you are from each one of your siblings. But it's amazing God's handiwork and what he does. But every one of those grandbabies that come are so amazing and so special. I texted Debbie yesterday. I said I saw a bumper sticker once that said, had I known how much fun it would be to be a grandparent, I would have done that first. And it is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I told Brett, he was like, you're so excited. You're more excited than when you had your own kids. And I said, no, I'm actually equally excited. But the difference is I don't have any pain. I don't have any recovery from sleepless nights. My body's not adjusting. I'm not having to actually turn into a milk factory. There's a lot of things I don't actually have to do this round. And so I'm just enjoying all the love. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Yeah, I told Kenzie, I actually feel bad. I'm like, oh, I feel bad. You had to actually hurt over this, you know? But God has his design in all of it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, you know? It is a true sacrifice. So one thing that we wanted to do was, first of all, acknowledge that for all of you. Like that what you're doing and being a mom, it is a sacrifice. It truly is the greatest sacrifice. From the second you find out you're pregnant until clear through all the way until the day we say hello to the Lord, you know? We're gonna go through all kinds of seasons where we have to die to ourselves and living for the Lord. And in addition, really helping your kids in their process of coming to know the Lord, you're right in that zone where everything is so impressionable and you have such huge opportunity. And we just wanted to talk to you about that and encourage you in that. But before we get started, we also wanted to really make sure and acknowledge the single moms out there because it's you're setting yourself up. I talked to Brett about this a little in terms of what would be the message for a single mom. And he said, there's no question that a single mom is hands down. It's like both your hands are tied behind your back, you know? And so I wanna make sure that no one, whether online or whether here, that no one feels unsupported and that no one feels neglected or overlooked or anything like that. Because if you are in the position of being a single mom, because you can get a lot of support through the ministry at Athey Creek and through the Titus II women, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. But the second thing to think about is if you are married and if you are thinking about maybe going the route of divorce, count the cost, because the cost is probably more than what you are ever imagining. And if you do count that cost and then you realize to stay married is gonna be a whole nother cost, just visit counting the cost on both sides. And then I would say you cannot get enough counsel to try to keep your marriage together. And I mean, you cannot actually get enough counsel, number one, through God's word, but also through women who have walked through things. But then in a whole nother category would be situations that have to do with abuse, infidelity. Those are really hard things. So we definitely want to acknowledge and make sure you feel really, really supported wherever you're at. And then the last group is, I'm not going to say the bliss group, but by comparison, if you haven't had infidelity in your marriage, if you do not have any kind of, you know, crazy things going on that are like truly horrible character things going on in the marriage, count your blessings. And expect it to not be easy, but count your blessings that God has blessed you with someone who you can live your life with and raise these kids with. And in that, glorify the Lord through your relationship. It's never going to be a walk in the park. I shouldn't say never. That's an overgeneralization. 95% of the time, there's going to be a hurdle. And it's because there's two separate people that are coming together. And if you have any kind of your own imagination or idea, and you don't remember the steps of take a breath before you talk, pray about it, check in with Jesus. Do you really want me to say this thing? Okay, I will not. You know, so that's the kind of thing you gotta, we're coming to the Lord on this. And all that is a repetitive cycle. It's a good cycle to get in where you're going to the Lord, you're checking in with him, you're asking if you're feeling burned out or if you have no energy, for you to actually ask the Lord to fill you fresh with his Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about all of those things now, and I give you duty.
Well, yeah, and I was just thinking too, the role of a single mom being so, it is very unique in that you need all the more to, well, I don't even know if it'd be all the more. It's just in a different way to be relying on the Lord and realizing and knowing that this is not your singleness as a parent. It does not take the Lord off guard. And he is not scrambling for plan B. And he has known about it all along, and he is faithful. And I just think the seeing his tracks, I've known of so many single moms through the years, and seeing how the Lord comes through for them. And I know Debbie and I had chatted a little bit just about the fact that even you as a child had found yourself in a situation where your father had left. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about kind of the age range, but what were the years that that you were without a father figure in the home?
Yeah, so it's an interesting situation with, my story's just so funny. Most people don't know, they think, oh, Pastor Brett, he's married to Debbie, and they were both raised in Cinderella land and everything was happily ever after. But through the years, as we've gone to dinner with people, or if I've had opportunity to share, they go, wait, so there was a train wreck in your house? Like, what? Because my dad left when I was three, and then my parents were divorced by the time I was four. And then my dad, shortly thereafter, got remarried, and he was married for 13 years to my stepmom, had two kids. My mom and dad had my big brother and me in their first marriage. And I loved my stepmom. I loved my half-brother and sister. I totally thought they were great. It's funny how different sections of the family wanted me to do different things. So like my stepmom was totally good with me calling her my stepmom, things like that. And she was clear, she was honest in saying, this is your half-brother, half-sister. So that's strange though, because you always don't know if you're fully apart or not. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Then, but with my big brother, so my mom got remarried when I was in second grade, and so that man he just wasn't a good guy. He was not a good guy. So my mom didn't realize that he was a predator, and he was a groomer, and no one knew any of that stuff. So you don't know that when you're in second grade, you know? You just think, oh, the guy with the pizza is great. Sure, Mom, after 6 weeks, get married, you know? And it wasn't until years later that my sweet stepsister, who now knows the Lord, but through years of rehab, several relationships, marriages, suicide attempts, all that, like no one could figure out why she was the way she was. But after she came to know the Lord and we were able to talk, like really talk, because you have Jesus and there's a whole blanket of mercy that God gives, that we were able to really say, this is actually what was happening with this. And now that man died. And when I was in the seventh grade, he died. And that was, in terms of the Lord's protection, that was one of those things where I remember being so angry as a little kid that I would wish that he was dead. It would be better if he was dead. And so then he got sick and he died. And I thought, oh, wow, okay. That is kind of awesome, actually, because of how much I was spared from by comparison with my stepsister, who no one knew that she, all that stuff had happened to her. But the Lord totally spared me. I know that. And so it wasn't easy in those 3 or 4 years that my mom was, or I guess 6 years that she was married to him. It was definitely really, really difficult. So if you have someone who has a chronic illness, plus they've got all this other stuff, and he, I mean, to his credit, apparently in the hospital when he was dying, he had like a literal come to Jesus moment. And he like was telling everyone, like, you need to get your act together. This family needs Jesus, all that. And then he died. So I'm planning on seeing him in heaven. You know what I mean? But yeah, when there's not a lot of like deep thought about who it is you're going to marry, I think that probably would be a huge word of warning to women out there who are single. Like, wow, you really do need to count the cost. And if you ever need a little help with that decision, please come talk to me. I'm more than happy to talk to you about that. You know, I think my sweet mom, you know, she tried so hard. She was the only provider. My dad, he just wasn't a support, you know, he would not, like, it's sad to talk about this, but my dad, he's in heaven now and everything's glory and good and it's all good, but he just had some real huge issues, you know? And so I think that's the thing for anyone who's single, or if you have people around you who are single, just try to come alongside them, you know? Because there were two struggles that my mom had. One was at that time, you know, the 70s, there really wasn't, it was actually, I think, 69 or 70. There was such a stigma on women who were divorced. You would be labeled a divorcee. And in my mom's case, it was not her fault. It wasn't. I mean, she chose, in today's world, everyone would say she was the hero because she wouldn't stand up. You know, she stood up against the behavior that my dad was doing, which had to do with infidelity and stuff. So, you know, we would not expect anyone to stay in that kind of a situation. But that support was not something my mom got, you know, from the church at large. So she walked away from any of that. And that's a bummer, you know, but back to Judy's question. So when, and this is only to paint a broad picture, everyone's story is different. But so the day, this is an interesting story of God's sovereignty is why I'm saying this. So the day when the news got out about my parents splitting up, my cousin, who is a Christian, she's a missionary, retired missionary now in Barcelona, Spain, with her husband and family and stuff. But she was in high school. And so, like I said, I was 3. And youth group was very active in the town that I grew up in. And anyway, the Lord spoke to her. It was at lunch when she found out. And the Lord spoke to her to go to my house and lay hands on the door and to pray specifically for me. She told me this later, after like 20 years later. And she said it was the strangest thing because no one else in the family did God lay on her heart but for me. So years later, you know, I'd met Brett, I had my kids, and I was on the trajectory that we were talking about to you guys every week. And she had come and visited the local church where we were at. And she told me that story. And I said, wow, I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for being obedient to God and praying. Because I certainly feel like the Lord put a bubble around me. You know, I mean, it really wasn't until Brett and I were engaged and we went to a little engagement party just for his family and me and Brett. And his sisters said, man, Debbie, how did you turn out? You know, and I think it was one of those things where I thought, how did what turn out? You know, because the Lord so filled in the voids. You know, my mom, she was an amazing mom. You have to go back to the time. I mean, she made our own clothes, all of our clothes, and she home did all the food, all the things people are putting on Instagram now. My mom did all that stuff, you know? So, and she had a full-time job. And going back to, she was the breadwinner. I mean, there was no support coming in. So I just can't even thank my mom enough. So you do the best you can in the circumstances that you're in. And that's, I'll always have that you know, for my mom. But yeah, so that's a whole lot of twists and turns, but that's how it is in life. So my mom did what she could do to the best that she could. And then when my stepdad got sick, all of her attention went towards that. And then when my stepdad died, then she had a couple years where there was like a recuperation. And then she met my final stepdad, and then they were married until he passed away. My mom's still living, and she's going to be 90 this year, and she's doing really good. And she's decided to remain single now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it does. You bring up a good point, too, for you single moms, is just really placing that before the Lord, that whole subject matter, as far as, because I think there can be almost an urgency that you may think you're going to miss the boat somehow. And I heard a quote that was said, it said, what God has for you won't get by you. And so you don't have to actively pursue what you would perceive as a balanced family life, because the Lord in his word tells us that he is our husband and we can count on that. And so I just see his redemptive work, mm-hmm. and that he has had his sovereign hand on you all along. And I think of what you described there and how the Lord Jesus tells us, I came to seek and to save the lost, but how you so easily could have gone other directions in life, but yet God had his hand on you all along, mm-hmm. and was drawing you to himself.
Totally, totally, yeah. There is this really neat story that comes to mind. So my mom knew that we kids would be, my brother and I would be very sad because my dad left. So she got us little calico kittens. And I remember going and getting these little kitties. And I remember that it was just a sweet moment, right? So then we had two, but one died. So we had one. But anyway, we had a cat. So that was, you know, I was 3 years old. So then sixth grade comes, and I sit down for biology class, and I sit next to this little gal. And her name is Judy. And I go, hi, Judy. And she's like, hi, Debbie. And we were friends. And then a little few weeks goes by or whatever, and she says, my mom and dad want to know if you want to come over. And I was like, yeah. So they would bring me over there on Saturday night, and then we would go to church, and then we would go to brunch. And that was a lot of weeks where they did that. And I, all the way out, we were going out to Applegate, and it was like a 30-minute drive, captive audience. I was hearing praise music in the car. I was asking questions. They were totally answering all kinds of questions. And that was Carmen and Neil, who are in heaven now. But they became like my go-to family, truly my go-to family. And it was so amazing, because one night Carmen and I were talking and she explained to me the concept of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we were up in her room, the wind was blowing through and the curtains, and she goes, do you see how that is? That's how the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see it, but you see the evidence. Like, she answered very fundamental, deep questions for me and made me feel so settled in the Lord, and made me see that God was someone who you could really trust to walk through everything. So that's why so many things that maybe the world would think were enticing, I just thought, no way, I've already seen a lot of this stuff happening, and I don't want to have that, and I want to be with Jesus and trust him, you know? Mm-hmm. But she remembered, she said, did your mom buy kitty cats when you were about 3 years old? And I said, yes, they were calicos. And she said, that was our house where you went. And I said, how do you know that? And she said, I was a teacher's assistant in the school, or a volunteer in the school where your mom taught. And the story's checked out, and that was to me such a sweet, like, look at the thread that God did. Like, my mom was doing the best she could to provide comfort, and that was good enough. My mom did not fail. She did good. And then the Lord picked up the slack wherever there was and helped carry me through a whole nother season of time. And then it wasn't too much longer after that that I told you this sweet little girl at church came up and said, hi, my name's Melinda, and I want to be your friend. And that was Melinda Thompson right there. And Judy Slaughter has been a huge blessing in my life. Sorry. Take advantage of the Titus II women, because no matter what the break is,
that you've had in your family, you can move forward. And the Lord can give you such a good, strong path to walk on. And one that you don't have to question. One that you do not have to question. Because you might go through things that are really hard. Or maybe you've been through really hard things. But the Lord's able. He's so able. But your heart that can be so frail and fragile, you have to know who you can give it to, you know. And so anyone out there that's single, don't just give it to anyone, you know. Give your heart to the Lord and let him just remake you and make you strong. Sorry, isn't that great? Now go spank your kids.
Don't be sorry, because that is so much from your heart, Debbie, and we all in unison are blessed by what you just shared too. And I think the word of encouragement that we have on our heart for the single moms is because too, and I love hearing, you know, just the faithfulness of God to you through the years, and that really feeding into, I think, where we're kind of going tonight with the raising children at various stages in development, ages like 5 to 10, you can sometimes grow so weary. And knowing that it's kind of like the other end of the spectrum right now, and being able to look at Debbie's life and knowing the faithfulness of God through it, you know, and seeing his hand on you. That word of encouragement to the gals here that may be at that place in raising children. So one thing we were talking about is just staying the course in parenting and not growing weary in well-doing. There's a scripture that is in Galatians chapter 6. And it starts in verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And just remembering that while you're in the midst of it is, I kind of like seeing the, it's both ends of the spectrum. You're in it with where you are in parenting, but also seeing, oh, look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing. I love just hearing about how the Lord pursued you through the years.
Yeah, the Lord's good. I mean, I don't deserve that, and neither do you, you know? None of us deserve him. And his grace is sufficient, you know? I think something that's been sweet through the years, so Psalm 84, 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And I think about this scripture. It's been one of my favorites through the years. The Lord God is a sun and shield. And I think, wow, what do you get from the sun, right? It feeds us. It makes our lives grow. You get vitamin D, the happy hormone, right? It makes your body literally work right. We would be dead without the sunshine because it, you know, warms us up for our earth, you know? And it's just, there's so much provision in the sunshine. Who doesn't love a sunny day, especially us, right, in this area? But he's also a shield. So, you know, that shield is so important because you get protection when it's needed, and protection from enemies, protection from getting picked off by, you know, if you think about the wilderness in Israel, if you'd be out there in the wilderness all on your lonely and you didn't have a shield, you'd die, you know, and then you have to have a place to go. So the Lord is both of those things. And through the years, I just think, well, that's so sweet because, yeah, I've had both things in my life. I've had blessing and I've had yucky things, you know, and but the Lord's a sun and shield. So he's with us in the whole thing, and he's giving us enough provision for what we need, and he will shield us from the things we need to be shielded of. And the thing is he's going to carry us through, right? It says the Lord will give grace and glory. And I know in my life, like that is 1,000% the truth. He has given me grace and he has given me glory. And that's like, I'm so thankful for that, you know? It's just what can you do when you give something to God? I think that's something amazing to think about. And so if you have your children and you give your children to the Lord and you say, Lord, I know that you are a sun and shield for them as well. And you are the one who will give grace and glory. So I might not be getting, you know, glory in my everyday of scrubbing the toilet or picking up whatever you got to do, all the things. You know, there's just going to be times where it's going to feel like a nice, sunny, warm day. And then there's going to be other times where you're like, wow, I'm really glad I have a shield. You know, I'm really glad I have a place to run to. And that's got to be the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to seek that shield out and that sun out from other sources. And it's never, ever going to satisfy, you know. So the Lord has things in store for all of us. But we just, like Judy was saying, we shouldn't give up. We can't give up, you know, or you won't experience the full grace and glory that God has for your life. And then something that's been settling through the years, because I think I first became familiar with this scripture actually when I was a teenager, which that's in a couple of weeks from now, but it is still really, really good for you to have this for your kids and pass it on to them, that no good thing will he withhold for they that walk uprightly. When your kids are actually really contemplating the reasons why they should obey, you know, it's the promise that no good thing will he withhold for they that walk uprightly. Now, are they really going to ever walk perfectly? No. But upright is pretty good, right? As opposed to falling flat on your face. Upright's okay, you know? We at least want to try to get everyone moving in the right direction. And no good thing will he withhold. That creates such a desire for more patience and waiting for something. No good thing will he withhold. Are you kidding me? I'm a grandma now. No good thing will he withhold, including my grandson. If it's not a good thing for me to have Beau in my arms, if it's not a good thing for me, and I am saying for me, okay, the Lord is going to withhold that. That helps keep me calm, keep me, you know, like calm, grandma calm. So now likewise now, my sweet Kenzie, she's so amazing, but like, let's just say Beau is awake all through the night and what she wants is a good night's sleep, right? Well, the way for her to not go berserko is to say, no good thing will he withhold. So in other words, that night's sleep is gonna produce some fruit, right? Mm-hmm. Same with you guys, with your kids at the age they are. You're saying, I want them to behave. I want them to be perfect. And that in your mind is a good thing, right? But if that is not something you're getting, if that desire of your heart is not being met yet, it's because there's something the Lord needs to teach you. No good thing will he withhold. He's not going to withhold it for those that walk uprightly. And we want the blood of Jesus to be in our lives. We want our family to be covered in prayer. Our sins are forgiven. We want to be in that direction of walking uprightly and just know that the Lord is not going to withhold anything good. So that means when you go through those hard times and you're like, I cannot handle one more hard day like this, the Lord hears you in that and he's developing within you a strength. And then on the flip side, of course, is that he's also developing your kids. And that tenacity that you're passing on to your kids to not give up and to keep going and to not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart, you know? That's my take on just staying the course.
Yes. I was thinking about just the fact of what you're saying, no good thing will he withhold to those who walk uprightly. In Psalm 127, 1 and 2, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And the Lord is longing to be the one who builds the house. He's longing to be the one who is our foundation, our rock. And I'm thinking about just living by the grace of God, and it is his grace that pours out to us those good things. As we have our eyes fixed on him, He will pour out to us what we need for the moment.
Yeah.
So in parenting, there is so much that comes kind of feeling blindsided, or you can feel as though you've been just taken off guard and you did not expect this, that, or the other thing to happen. Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, he says, he's talking to the Galatians, and he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive by the Spirit, or did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" And the way I see this is along the lines of, we know we're saved by the grace of God, and the grace of God is simply unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. He wants to pour out every good gift, and that all comes from God. But when we are saved and we're at the foot of the cross, we know that it is by the total, unmerited, unearned favor of God that He sent His Son to die in our place on the cross. So in saying that, that's His grace, and that's initial work of salvation in our lives. But then there's the day-to-day. So we're justified, meaning just as if we'd never sinned, is one way we've heard it before. But so once you're born again, and once you have placed your trust in Christ, we can die, be absent from the body, as to be present with the Lord. But there is then an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that is called sanctification. And that's just a word for we're a work in progress, every one of us. And as moms, and you have kids at home, and you're at ages where they are challenging you, there's not a chart or a formula that we can give to say, hey, you have kids ages 5 to 10, and so therefore you just follow this chart and you pin it up on your fridge and you can reference it every time you have an issue. You know, it doesn't work that way. It sounds easy, but it doesn't work that way, because as we know, every one of our children are so unique, so different from one another. And so the grace of God, what Paul is saying here is you have been perfected. That initial faith and salvation was through the grace of God. Through the grace of God alone. Well, the Lord doesn't just leave off there and say, well, okay, now you're on your own. But He's saying, no, I want to provide for you every good thing. I want to provide for you on that day that you are, I didn't realize Johnny was going to behave in that way. Lord, what do I do? I need your grace. Would you pour out to me? I need wisdom. I need strength to get through this day. Lord, I'm feeling as though I'm less patient today than what I would like to be. Would you please pour out your grace and give me the patience I need? Give me whatever fruit, the endurance that I need to be able to be a parent to these kids. I compare it, I think, sometimes to the picture of manna in the wilderness, where there wasn't a gathering of the manna to where you could store it up and say, hey, got that taken care of. But there was a daily dependence on gathering from God what you would need from Him. And otherwise, if they gathered the manna and kept it till the next day against the instruction and command of God, it would only be just decayed and have worms the next day. So that was a picture for us, that with the grace of God, we need Him to such a degree as parents, no matter what stage they're at. But this age of 5 to 10, I think, can be an age range that requires maybe, again, more endurance, staying the course, not growing weary in well-doing, just continuing to sow those seeds of righteousness, knowing that it is the Lord who is pursuing each one of your kids. And again, whether you be single or whether you be married, you're going to be facing, you know, these kind of challenges. And so those are just a few thoughts, but the Lord is our foundation. He is our rock. He is the one who we look to continually through these things, because you're going to be getting curveballs as parents with your little kids. There's just no doubt about it. That's the way it is. And it's the Lord himself who designed your very child or children to be under your care, under your instruction. So he has every intention in following through with giving you he will not withhold from you every good thing.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly, the desire of your heart. If you go to Psalm 37, and let's explore that for a second. That's another one that is just so great. And we've talked about this in previous weeks. And if you haven't been to the different mom times, you can definitely just go back and listen and get caught up. But in Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." So now take this and apply it directly as though we're exactly talking about your child. And even in particular, a specific issue with that child. So say you have a five-year-old who, this is simple, but comes in the door with the mud on the shoes, and you would prefer that the shoes be taken off. So let's just say that's your struggle, okay? And it's led you to complete frustration because it leads to having to clean up the floor and all the lack of care for his possessions or her possessions, things like that. Stewardship, a lot of issues related around that, but let's just look at the scripture. So regarding that thing, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and as thy judgment, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass or dirty shoes into the house. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So now just hold on for a second. So that's just a little example of how you can bring your thoughts and your process to the Lord. Lord, I am actually frustrated with this. And he can encourage you that you can cease from anger, that there is actually a way for you to work through this problem and actually not have anger in your heart. Because what does that do to you? It hurts you, and it can create resentment and hostility and all the things that don't represent Jesus to your child. And that's just one little thing. You can go over and over and make a list and talk to the Lord about these things and actually work through it with the Lord and say, "Lord, actually, am I maybe creating too high of expectations? Is there something that you would want me to relax about regarding the home? Or actually the other way, would you rather have me teach order in the home? Is there a reason why you're wanting me to do this?" And if the Lord gives you the clear on that, then you pursue that and you do it as unto the Lord in a way that you're going to, if the Lord was going to take you home tonight, right, you'd see Jesus and you could say, "Oh, I just, by the grace of God, I did the best I could." And there's no problemo with that, right? It's different if you're just blowing off God and just making up your own rules and just whatever. And with that comes surprises for your children and things are mayhem. And then you come and you talk to one of the Titus 2 women and they're like, "Okay, let's start over." In that way, if you've had no rules, then it would be good to set what you think would be good boundaries and perimeters for your behavior, right? Having some kind, like in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says, "Without a vision, the people perish."
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine a surgeon going to the surgeon table? Actually, you can't imagine this. There's been lawsuits over this. I mean, there's a reason why they have to mark the spot, the right arm, where it's supposed to go. I mean, without a plan, lose limbs and stuff. You got to think about this. With your parenting, why would you not be just as intentional? In the morning, you wake up and you commit your way to the Lord, just like it says, commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. If you wake up, and if I wake up, this maybe is a good scripture for us to write down and have it right by our bedside table. Commit thy way to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever is in front of your day, he shall bring it to pass. I mean, as a wife who possibly is more on the emotional side, being married to a husband who is very logical, for him to say through the years, "It's going to be all right, hon. it's going to be all right. And you're married to a man like that. You're married mm-hmm. to bear, tons of this and that, and cancer and dreadful disease and blah, 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 and you're going to die, and you're going to die. And he's like,
yep, steady as he goes.
Steady as he goes.
Yeah.
And there's some value to that, you know, because you say, oh, okay, commit thy way. Like husbands, like our husbands, are a really good example of what it looks like to commit. And you do not move that. You commit and you trudge forward, and that's what it is. And you set your face like flint on that mission, you know? And that intentionality is what moms, we need to bring that to the table for our kids, because the emotions can sway us. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, sway. Yeah. You know, Boaz is perfect. Like, can you imagine? I wrote a whole thing on that in the Choose Life thing, how I thought Brookie was perfect. That was one of my reasons for silence, because I was holding him literally thinking, no, he actually is not perfect. I remember this. I actually wrote about this. He is a sinner too. It seems impossible, but he actually is a sinner too. And I was silent about that, thinking, wow. I mean, we literally are all born into sin. We are literally born into sin because we live in a fallen world, you know? And that, what exactly does that look like in your home? How that actually plays out could look different from your home to your home, depending on what's going on in that home. But it's still, you come to the Word, and it's delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So if you want a perfect child, you should probably know that's not gonna happen. So that desire, you gotta check that back in with God. You're not going to have a perfect child. So turn that one back in and say, obviously, Lord, my desire is not lining up with you, because I know that that's not possible. Actually. And that's where the Lord can chip away maybe at your want list of expectations for your kids' behavior, is to just chip away at that and say, Lord, help my desire to line up with your desire. Mm-hmm. What does that actually look like? And then that circles back around to what Judy was talking about in terms of just faith. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's the message you want your kids to hear. Is that it is their faith in God that's going to credit them with righteousness. And being right with God helps smooth out a lot of wrinkles, a lot of wrinkles. One thing we don't want to do as a group, as moms, as just, you know, collectively, all of Athey Creek, we really do want to stay on point with the message of grace, because it is by grace we're saved. And we do not want to teach our kids how to be legalistic. Yes, we want our kids to follow the rules, and we need obedience. We are a country that lives under law and order. I mean, we're seeing that every day. What happens if you allow law and order to break down? Then entire systems break down. And there may be those that actually want that to happen, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's not happening in our house. We're going with law and order. Does that make sense? So you have to decide that. And once you do, then you're going to commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And just believe that and walk confidently in your day, however that looks.
Yeah, and you're so right. We birth little sinners, don't we? You find that out when you get them home, and spending any amount of time with them really at all, you find out very quickly that they have that sin nature too, just like all the rest of us. And the obedience part, so important to remember the reason, like you talked about legalism, is that it's not for that they're aye-aye captain, you know, and whatever you say, that there is some regimented thing so that there's an outward look of conforming in your home, but that it is a heart issue, and that you care about your kids, you care about where they're headed, you care about their hearts. Where are they headed? You have a mission field in your home. And this age of 5 to 10 is a wonderful age where you're beginning to be able to communicate with these kids on a level that you didn't have when they were younger. And you're able to begin to instill more, pointing them to the Lord and the whys behind what do the scriptures teach. You know, the word of God does not return to him void is what it says in Isaiah 55. And that we know that as the Lord gives instruction and we convey that instruction to our kid, not our kids, but not as a, like I say, a regimented, okay, you're just going to learn these things, but that no, we care about where you're going. And it is your creator, your maker, who loves you so much that this is why we do what we do. I just think about having a plan, and even the correction sometimes that it takes, like what you've brought up so many times about Happy Chat, which is just so good, because I don't know of a home that doesn't eventually kind of steer off course, you know, to where you're feeling like, well, I think I'm a little derailed from where we were headed, you know, 6 months ago, what's happened? But to be able to redirect your family, your kids, back to that purpose, that goal that you are caring about their heart before the Lord. The heart of man is desperately wicked, the Bible says. And so it is through our, not only our own being a light in our children's lives and continually pointing them to the Lord, it is just through just the day-to-day walking with them and having that influence in their lives. But having a plan, I think one of the worst things you can do as a parent, one of the worst, I probably did a lot more than just this, but is not having a plan. Because I think it is, it's so good to know, this is what we're gonna do, here's the boundaries, here's the lines. As long as you just stay, that there's the line, kids, and as long as we just stay right here, we're going to do good, you know? But you choose to put your foot over the line and defy and, you know, the instruction, and there is rebellion there or whatever, it has to be dealt with. And, you know, I always would put it to my kids and say, you know, I'm sorry you made that decision. If they would. So that's an age range where you can be able to say, begin pointing your kids toward accountability, how important it is that they learn to be accountable, because before God, we each one will stand individually before God. We want to be able to stand before him, of course, forgiven, free of our sin past, but that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is that I'm losing my train of thought. I was headed somewhere, but blank. Anyway, okay. The Lord will bring it back to me. But yeah, I think so too. But anyway, the Lord is faithful to bring about the inner heart work that needs to happen within the child in order to bring them into a right relationship with him. And that's truly the goal that you want to be able to have with your kids, is see that they want that they're born again, because that's where you're going to have that inroad to know that the Holy Spirit is actually working in their lives. And so you outwardly are teaching and training your kids, but inwardly the Holy Spirit is working within to convict them of their own sin and direct them in his ways. And then as far as just the day-to-day and being a parent too, it is, I think of where Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, where he says, therefore walk in the Spirit that you will not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. And the lust of your flesh can be, I am so done. You know, I have gone through so much, I just need a week off. Or I am so at the end of my patience, I don't know where to turn. But it's knowing, okay, so Lord, this is where your grace comes into play. This is where you will come through for me and fill in every single gap. And that's exactly what he will do. He is so good to guide our steps in that way. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit being love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. None of those things do we have by our own nature. Our lower nature, none of it. But everything just the opposite. But by the mercy and grace of God, he will pour out those things through us to be able to face the day each day with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's neat how, so it's kind of a universal thing. All moms pretty much say this, that you can tell in the womb, there's certain things that you'll notice. Oh, wow, at 1 or 2 years old, I remember actually in the womb, this child's personality was kind of like this. And we have John the Baptist who, you know, clearly the Holy Spirit was in Elizabeth's womb, the baby, you know, there was just this moment when John the Baptist could tell, wow, she's carrying the Savior, even though John the Baptist was in the womb. So there's all kinds of things scripturally and then also just evidentially in all of our lives where you kind of see this personality and it changes and it matures and it grows, but it's kind of what it is. You know, we're born with certain things, and good and bad. So it's your job as a mom, not so much to change your child and turn your child into a whole different version of itself. Now that can happen, and I'm not talking about like deep, deep, deep behavioral things. I think we talked last week about, you know, Bobby kicking the wall or whatever. You know, like there's levels, and I'm not talking about that level. I'm talking about, wow, this personality comes out and it's got really cool characteristics. There's natural things. Everybody knows about the Enneagram, which I know we're not supposed to talk about because it's apparently demonic or whatever. No. Enneagram, personality, Myers-Briggs, all the personality tests. Anybody can take those tests and figure out that in general, there's certain things that have been God-given in you, you know, and same with your child, same with your husband. And some of those tests are very helpful. It's when you rely on those tests so much and you leave out scripture to help develop in your mind the conclusion about these things, that it can get a little dicey, you know? So there is a really sweet book. It was written, I think, in the 70s by Dr. Tim LaHaye. He's Dr. Tim LaHaye, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, called The Spirit-Controlled Temperament. And so that actually would be useful for you, especially at this time, to read through. Very easy reading, but helps you kind of figure out, okay, hold on a second. My child is actually more of an introvert. My child actually really does maybe the opposite. My child is more, you know, life of the party. Those kind of personalities are explained. And then what's so sweet about that read is, because it's a Christian read, it's just really sweet because you can see like choleric, that's a personality type. It's based on the word cholera. So that is how we get colic, like colicky baby, kind of like obnoxiously strong-willed, you know, like, oh my word. But under the Spirit's guidance, that child that's so strong and so bold and can be led by the Spirit and be a leader and actually be effective for Christ. So there might be some complex personalities out there, but it's okay because with the Holy Spirit, you can really teach your child how to take those things that are really great strengths that could actually be obliterating if that person, a little guy or girl, does not surrender to Christ. Mm-hmm. But instead, you can teach, and that's what's so neat, what Judy was saying about this age, you can actually start having big conversations, you know, big ones, that you'd be surprised how far ahead your kids are than what you think. And so you can have very nice, long conversations about thought process, yes, about what it is to do certain things, why do we behave the way we do, what are our feelings during those things, why do you think we had those feelings, what do you think we should do about that? Like, these are big things that you can actually convey to your kids and then help them know, okay, so in those times when you get really angry, what we can actually do is talk to God about it. And yes, you can bring that anger to the Lord because he loves you. And he wants to help you with that. And what does that actually look like? Does that mean that we do it again? Not intentionally. But does that mean that we want to try to learn how to talk to the Lord through a process? Those are the kind of big picture things you can talk to your kids about. And really help them let go of any stigmas that they or anyone else might put on them, you know? A whole nother change that I'm so sorry that we have to even talk to you about this, but I know that our sweet friend John Slaughter, Judy's grandson, he has to tell the kids in youth group because he runs the some of the youth groups, and he has to just say, I'm so sorry that you guys are having to face this right now in society, but you really are free to just accept the biblical, you know, narrative that a woman is a woman and a man is a man and just leave it at that. So now what I say to you is, yes, it's that simple, but I do encourage you to keep yourself at a distance, keep yourself aware of what the language is. And it is language. It's a definite language that's being thrown out there that if you're not kind of up to speed on like the verbalization, and Sharon, would you mind raising your hand, Sharon? Sharon Fox is right there. Okay, if there's anyone who's studied this in this room more, I need to meet her because Sharon is the one who I think has studied this more. Being a former school board member and actually seeing this stuff get really pushed through the system at the rate that it went, and Sharon did a lot of deep diving to really understand the real structure and nature of what's going on with this. And so the obvious answer is that it's completely anti-God, right? Mm-hmm. You can take a step further and talk about Marxism. You can take a step further and talk about the psychology and really the evil nature of really just trying to evade any kind of personal responsibility that we have towards being actual leaders in our home and actually taking a stand for Christ. And where it goes, it just keeps on going. So if you want to have a conversation, Sharon is easily a person you can talk to about all of that. But do understand the lingo, because it's being used everywhere. And, you know, the Bible does tell us to be aware of Satan's devices. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Satan does really, really, really good is lie. And, you know, our generation now that is before us, including you guys, you're just being lied to. You're just being told a big, fat whopper. Yeah. And you need to be able to call that out and say, that is a lie that is not from the Word of God. And I'm sorry, that's the basis. And then from there, you figure it out. But that's not what kids are being presented with. Mm-hmm. And it's happening more and more. And so I don't say that to alarm anyone, because the Lord's with us. He's going to walk you through it. I do say that as sort of a charge to us, because we have such a fallen, place right now. And people are sad. And in a way, that makes it be the best setup of all time, as far as they have a need. And I do, it's not as extreme. I didn't go through this, but as a kid, when I was presented the gospel by the sweet Carmen O'Neill, I looked at that like a full meal that was very digestible and was going to meet all the needs of my heart and my mind and give me eternity. It was like a no-brainer for me. And so I see the generation and what they're faced right now of this present time. And I think, wow, this is an opportunity for all of us to be on the lookout for those who have questions, who need to understand God's grace and his nature is for us to be restored to him. He restores our soul. The very thing that is actually, that's the lie that kids are questioning. Am I a man? Am I a woman? Forget all that. Where is their soul? Because see, if your mind and your emotions are wanting to be with God, all that other stuff's going to line up. It just will. It will line up. So it's a spiritual battle. It's not a time to become complacent. Because your kids can go A to Z and not break the rules, that is not a time for you to say, okay, kick back. Time for us to break all the rules and not care. That's the opposite. It's now's the time for you to say, game on, and we're going to make more, significant cuts to get to what the real issues are, so that you can prepare your kids to go out, like Jesus said, go out and make disciples. So as you make disciples, it should be rinse and repeat. You should be able to rinse and repeat this and have them learn, wow, I can be equipped to share the Lord with people. And I can do it from a perspective not that's built on rules and law and you're not accepted, but actually the very opposite. No, you are accepted, and there's a lot of really great stuff, amazing green pastures for you. And I want to help you get to that place where you can enjoy that. If you're looking for a book that in great detail really talks about this whole issue, everything regarding LGBTQ, homosexuality, all that stuff. So there's a sweet brother in Christ. His name is, I think it's Beckett. I could be messing this up. Beckett Cook. It's called Change. I'm going to get this for you. Change. I had it all in my mind before I came here. And see, it's birth. child. It's Poof. It's birthing. Yeah. I think it's Beckett Cook, and it's called Change of Affection is what it's called. The book is amazing. But talk about being bent to go this direction. Just, I am not going to have anything to do with God. And then, whoom, by Christians in a coffee house, because they had their Bible out, and he asked a question about that. And his heart was changed. A complete, complete change. And it's an amazing story. And, you know, it's out there. You got to teach your kids that change will happen. And the Lord's the one that's seeking. But don't lose heart, and don't become complacent.
Yes, and your point about not being ignorant of the enemy's devices is so good. We need to know what are his tactics, and he will repeat kind of the same playbook. He will push the same buttons and do the same things because they work. And so one of his tools is deception. And he will do his level best to not only deceive us, whether you are actively a parent or a grandparent, wherever you are in life, or your children, he will be, a goal would be that he would be deceiving, leading astray. And, you know, just thinking about what Debbie was just sharing, there are going to be impressions made on your children, no doubt. The question is, who is making those impressions? Is it going to be the world and the lies of the world, or is it going to be you teaching and training up your kids in the ways of the Lord? Debbie was also talking about even personality types amongst your kids. And I remembered what I was going to say earlier. It popped back in my head. But as far as personal accountability goes, I started on that, but then I trailed off. But it's so important that you train your kids when they have chosen to disobey you, that you make sure that you calmly are able to convey to them, I'm sorry you made that choice. So that, because the attempt will be in their little sin nature is to begin pointing fingers. So the deception can enter in that they are, and they're trying to portray themselves as innocent, but before we're saved, we need to realize and know we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the accountability factor, I mean, you look in the world today and you look about at so many things that are being taught in the schools and so forth, how deceptive it is. These kids really are going into it many times, I think, with always blaming. They're blaming someone else. They're always blaming people around them, and they're never looking at what it is that they did. And so the very basic part of teaching your children is that they have an accountability. And that can be, maybe some kids are going to receive that a little bit easier and a little bit quicker than others. But to just patiently be directing them back to, no, that's a decision you made. And since you made that decision, now the course of the day has kind of changed up. It would have been nice had you not made that decision, but since you did, now here's going to be the consequence. Mm-hmm. And when kids begin to understand their accountability before God, then there is more of them personally looking to the Lord and having that relationship built between them and him, them as an individual and seeking him out too. So those are just a few things that come to my mind as far as just raising the kids so that they're not going to be swept down the broad path, you know, we hear any dead fish can go with the flow, right? Mm-hmm. But to be able to take personal accountability and to stand up and say, nope, that's not the direction I'm going to go, and realize that that would be a destructive path to take. So the road to destruction is broad, and many who go down that path. But the road to life is narrow and few who find it. And we know that Jesus Christ is that narrow gate. But to be able to teach your kids, and this age range is so, such a wonderful time to begin really just pouring in the scriptures. I think it was Spurgeon who said, never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit to apply his word to the heart of a child. So to know that as you read the word with your child, that the Lord is doing that inner heart work within them. Mm-hmm. And that's something only he can do. We have a desire to see our kids turn to him and follow and serve him, but only he is the one, he's the author of salvation. Only he's the one who's able to do that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Romans 8:28 talks about how that God works all things together for good, for those that love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. So you guys can apply that to your life saying, wow, Lord, this season in my child's life, I know that there might be challenges, or maybe there's a reading, you know, challenge. Maybe there's a learning issue that, you know, there's just so many things that we have. Maybe there's temperament things. Maybe it's whatever it is, physical stuff. Maybe there's actual needs. But the Lord can take all those things and work it together for your child's good and for your good because you are called. So stay faithful in that. Before we break up into our groups, which we will do that tonight, same circles as before, I want to read Psalm 18 to you because in the age group that you're in right now, you are prepubescent age, okay? It's really, really good for you to get a handle on the stability of God in your house when your kids are at this age, because when they launch in to the part where they lose their mind a little bit, it's really good for you to say, hey, remember, like, we want to remember who God is, okay? So we don't have to read the whole psalm, but I just want to get you a little bit. I'm going to skip through a few different verses. So it starts out saying, I will love thee, O Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's something that's so huge for you to present who God is and how much your kids can take refuge in him. That will feed your soul and it will feed your kids' soul as well. And it'll set them up for really, really good things in terms of how to navigate conflict with others, just life's difficulties. Life is difficult, you know, and you're gonna be teaching them, not that they'll never have a bad day, that when they have a bad day, that they can look to the Lord, who is our shield and the horn of our salvation, our high tower. And the answer is to call upon him. And then it goes through and it talks about sorrow that's felt and distress and even things like the earth shaking and trembling and then things like fire and then things like coal and then big, big, big ideas of God. He rode up on a cherub, did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. I mean, you can talk about the huge concepts of God. And then some of you, I know, have little artists for children. Have them start drawing out some of this stuff that they see. I know one little mom that showed me some kind of a cool clip that had to do with, it's basically a little film their child made in like 15 minutes. There's so many things that you can do that, and leading your kids down the road of just really loving the Lord and seeing how mighty and amazing he is. And if you have a creative one that can actually see that and picture that, have them draw that stuff out because it's amazing and it will help them work in the ways of God right into their heart and into their soul. And then, so a little bit more in Psalm 18, where it says in verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? And then it goes on to talk about that. That's the strength and mightiness of God. That's who we want to remind our kids of, especially in this age. I mean, if some of them are in sports, they're gonna be being coached. They're gonna be learning rules. They're gonna be able to learn what it is to operate in a way that actually brings a desired outcome. But all along the way, if you're also teaching them about just the amazing worthiness of God, then when it does come time in the junior high time, when, wow, things are changing and the mind is like spilling and things are going a little bit bonkers, they will have this as something that's a foundation in their life. So that's another thing that I would say is, since they are at the age of being able to read, have them read the scripture with you. Not every day. I don't want to have anyone be legalistic about it, but get in the habit of saying, hey, let's go through a devotional, or hey, let's go through a proverb today. And just get that something that is normal for them so that they don't know anything else. It's just, that's what they know. That's something that is within your control. There's a lot of things out there that you can't control, but that is something that you can control within your home. Mm-hmm. Is you can be the monitor, you can be the encourager, you can be the accountability person. You've got a lot of things that are going on, and high opportunity to share Christ and see other people come to know the Lord too, and then to have you be able to really encourage your kids and have them be strong as you go. So let's pray, and then we'll break up into our groups. And thank you so much for coming tonight. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for gathering us, for having all of us here and online, Lord, all the people that are really just taking time to be thoughtful about raising children in the ways of the Lord. So I pray for the moms that are here and the families that are represented, that you would bless them, give them wisdom and strength. And just these words, Lord, that have been shared from experience and from things that we see day in and day out, Lord, I pray that you would just give these women courage and that they would not grow weary in well-doing, but you would just help their hearts to be strong and trust in you and give them that perfect peace, Lord, as they rely on you. So thank you, Lord, and bless the small groups now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.